Hey, it's Garen here. Inflation keeps rising. There won't be a better time than right now to replace the roof following the storm damage. Let the Shamrock team treat you to a free inspection and we'll replace the damage with the best roof at the best price. One call does it all at shamrockroofer.com.
You are listening live to the program. Your teams, your town, your program.
Salvi hits a ground ball, base hit into left center. Junior scores. Pasquantino stops at third, and the Royals lead 2-0, and Salvi adds to his league-leading RBI total. Right side, and that's going to be flagged down by Schneider, but it's a one-out play, and the Royals will get another run. In the air to right, hooking near the foul pole, and that is off the screen for a three-run home run. Michael Massey has his second home run of the series. Fastball got him swinging. So Anderson pitches a scoreless ninth, and the Royals take 2 out of 3 in Toronto. And they win a series here for the first time in 7 years.
And now, wondering if the Blue Jays have had quite enough butt kickings. Thank you very much, Seren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Right you are. Petro on the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you for joining us on a soggy Thursday. But it can't dampen the mood of Cinco de Mayo and tacos. How can you not be excited to have tacos?
Tacos make every day better.
You know, tacos are sunshine on a plate, are they not?
Yep. Yep. Sunshine, they take the sun, they fold it in half, and they stuff it full with either beef or chicken or pork or whatever, and it's just fantastic.
Sunny goodness, I think it's called.
Each bite is a bite right out of the sun.
Yeah, we continue on our Corona World Tour, getting you ready for Cinco de Mayo. We're at the Barrio Taqueria today, 408 East 31st Street. That's basically Martini Corner is where we are. Mm-hmm. Just a stone's throw from what? Maine over this way and Oak over this way,
yes.
Am I right?
Oak.
In between Maine and
yep.
Oak is where we are. Cinco de Mayo going to be lasting all the way through Sunday. Sunday actually is Cinco de Mayo, but get the party started early. They completely remodeled in 23, beautiful new rooftop. It's supposed to be 70 degrees.
Amazing.
For Cinco de Mayo.
Fantastic.
How perfect is that?
You can't get any better.
Get you a spot up on the roof. They'll probably have the garage doors open. The rain will be gone by then. You come on down and enjoy a little happy hour here in a few minutes. That gets fired up here at 2:30 at the Barrio Taqueria. Great coastal Mexican with a twist using wonderful fresh fruits and vegetables, herbs, wonderful unique dishes. You can come check it out right now. They got the specials on the Corona Premier, $3.50 for a Corona Premier today.
$3.50.
Low carbs, low calories. Mm-hmm. Check it out if you haven't tried it. It is fantastic. $3.50 for that. $8.10 fish tacos, as we have some fish tacos across the way.
Oh, wow. Those look great.
Yeah. Strong. Strong.
Yes.
Very strong.
Pickled onions
on
it.
And I also love the taco stand.
Very important.
The taco holders.
It's the best investment you'll have if you like tacos at home.
Not dumped over with half of it on the side.
Yes.
No, in the taco stand.
Yes, the professionals here.
They've gone all out here. Sunday they're going to have live entertainment plus $20 buckets of Modelo and Corona Premier. All four Barrio locations will be doing that. Taqueria here on 31st Street, Briarcliff, Redbridge, Brookside. You can go to BarrioKC.com for more information. Locally owned and operated, every location. Great open-air concept. Happy hour, like I said, Monday through Thursday, 2:30. So, you know, head on over now. By the time you get here,
yes,
it'll be happy hour, 2:30 to 6:30. Fridays, they do that early, 1:30 to 6:30. Voted best chips in town. You got the chili lime seasoning. Great spot. TVs, if you want to catch a ball game, watch some NBA playoffs, Royals baseball, NHL playoffs, The Current. They're all on Sporting Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
Check it out at all of your wonderful locations. The Taqueria right here, as we mentioned. Also, Redbridge, Brookside, Briarcliff, they got you covered. You can come check out their great, great menu. Like maybe the chicken nacho platter.
Strong.
Sounds good to me.
Yes, it does.
chips topped with both shredded cheese and famous queso. And not one or the
yes.
other. And
every of the all the, of the cheeses.
Pico, sour cream, fresh jalapenos, the fish tacos, beer battered with the fish, the fresh avocado, the chipotle aioli.
Mm.
They are being enjoyed by friend of the program right next to us.
Those do look good.
He's going after it. I like it. I like it. I'm impressed.
I'm going to have yes. What do you want? Yes.
Yes. I'm in. I'm in.
Point to something and throw it at my head.
Come see us. If you're downtown, if you're midtown, if you're anywhere in this area, if you're going up or down 71, you're a stone's throw away from the Barrio Taqueria. Great spot for your pre and post headquarters if you're going this direction to or from Royals games, current games. Great spot to head on your way to or from. So check it out. It's a great spot. And Sunday is going to be magnificent. 70 degrees. Get up top.
You can't beat it.
Live music, buckets of Corona, buckets of Modelo.
Where else would you want to be?
Do it upright. Celebrate the right way. We will celebrate today a special lineup. We got a lot coming your way. Dick Girardi is going to be with us. We'll get you ready for the Kentucky Derby.
Number 150.
150th, although some people are calling it 149 and a half because Bob Baffert's horses aren't running. 150 with an asterisk.
Well,
the Arkansas Derby winner is not here because the Kentucky Derby's got an axe to pick with Bob Baffert still.
I did the imaging for our station in Louisville, and they're calling it 150, so I'm calling it 150.
You're going to call it 150?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll go with it.
Is the Arkansas Derby winner not there because of a Bob Baffert thing, or are they just getting back at Calipari?
Good point. Could be.
Could be.
I didn't even think about that. Well done.
Holding out.
Johnny Russell will be here, Sporting Kansas City, needing to get a win. It's been a while. Had a number of draws, but not a win for a while. We'll talk to Johnny Russell here in the program. We have the feud coming up. We had to flip-flop some things. So Todd Lebo will join us in the 3 o'clock hour, get some Lebo sounds. We'll play the feud in the 3. Blair Kirchhoff in the 4, and Ryan LaFevre in the 5. Pinch hitting for Jeff Passan, who is out today. So we turn to the face.
The Feve Daddy.
The face of Royals baseball.
Yep.
Ryan LaFevre, friend of the program.
For many years.
And I will tell you, today is an off day, and he don't get many of them.
In season. He's taking some time to hang out with us.
So
won't meet a better person.
Let's just say we greatly appreciate him pinch hitting. Here. So we'll talk some Royals baseball with one of the best broadcasters, future Ford Frick Award winner.
Probably.
That's getting the award to go into the Hall of Fame as a broadcaster. I think he'll get that award.
I think he will, too. So. And one of the great comeback stories. Not comeback stories. I mean, we all remember what Ryan went through when he first got here. And that he now has become one of the most beloved broadcasters in the city is a great thing, regardless of who he is. But the fact that he is the person he is makes it even sweeter. You won't find a better guy.
Yeah. He is a peach of a guy and super knowledgeable about baseball.
A great broadcaster.
I learn a lot every time I watch a broadcast from Ryan. So looking forward to talking to him. Let's start with a little Royals baseball because we do have a jam-packed program to get to today. First of all, we mentioned that they set out on 19 games against teams that when they started the run were over 500. The Royals, thanks to the Royals beating them 5 out of 7, they have knocked the Blue Jays below 500. But they were an above 500 team before the Royals got to them.
Yeah.
So don't spend too much time straining as to whether or not we got that right. When they set sail 19 straight games against teams above 500 win, to that point, there were only 6 games they played against teams that were currently at that time above 500. Right? And so we said this is going to be the test. They beat up on the bad teams. That's what you're supposed to do. Now can they be competitive 500-ish against the good teams? That's what playoff teams do. And so there's a one at 7-6 with 6 games to go and all of them at home to go ahead and wave the checkered flag. Well, I mean, they can go 7-6 with a big chunk of that on the road, then certainly they can handle business. They could still end up 7-12.
Yeah, slow down.
Right? So, but it is certainly looking good.
Yes.
Right? So we're encouraged by that. So those signs, we've laid out that mile marker that they need to achieve. They're achieving it. But you found a couple more. One, as we keep pointing out, their run differential says they're real.
Yes.
Right? We're seeing the Arizona Diamondbacks and Florida Marlins, who both made the playoffs last year with negative run differentials, which is really hard to do. It does happen. They're proving to play back towards what the run differential was last year, that they were over their skis, even with the Diamondbacks going all the way to the World Series. That's a big sample size of run differential. This is a smaller sample size, but still, it points to the Royals actually being better than what their record is right now. Right? Like
yes.
Two or three games better.
Yep.
However, there's more data. There is a different view of their offense that would tell you they're grossly overachieving.
Yes, and part of that is, and I think I may have, I'm looking even further into it, I may have found some numbers that might even support why. They are currently fifth in the American League in runs scored, which is nice. But that doesn't make a whole lot of sense because they are 10th in batting average, 10th in on base, 8th in slugging, and 9th in OPS. So how are they getting, how are they being so efficient? Last night, another great night. They had 7 hits, 6 runs. I mean, they have been amazingly efficient with their offense, and I wonder if that maybe doesn't tip the scales a little more than we should. And I just found an interesting stat. Splits this year with nobody on base and with men on. This is the Royals slash line with nobody on base. 200, 257, 332, 590. Here's their slash with men on. 296, 371, 480, 851. Their OPS is 260 points higher with men on base than with men, no men on base.
The question is that sustainable?
Is that sustainable?
I think the answer would be no, but I don't know that it should come correct all the way back to where they
right.
are without
right.
men on base.
Right. They've already got this. They've already banked this much, and there clearly is some characteristic or quality to their lineup that is causing this. I don't think it's. It can't be just a complete crapshoot that you're 100 points better in batting average and 260 points better in OPS. There's something with those players that seems to be clicking when they get guys on base. I'd rather have it be this way. I mean, I'd rather have a team that when they get guys on, man, they tear you up. And
well, and I point out the Diamondbacks and Marlins yeah. that, you know, they're regressing back to what they probably really were last year. But they don't have to get back those postseasons
right.
from
right.
last year. Those don't get erased. So even if the Royals trick their way, mm-hmm. and I've got a theory about where they're not tricking themselves, tricking their way there. But even if they trick their way there, it's still a postseason.
It is.
It count, and if you win yep. the World Series by tricking your way all the way there, that counts too.
They're not giving it back. You don't have to give it back.
And I definitely am a believer that, you know, once you get there, there is a lot of, I don't want to call it luck, but it's such a short sample size. An off day by a couple of pitchers on the other team, hot day by a couple of yours, and you're 4-2 winners of the World Series against a team that was far superior to you.
Yeah.
So it is, if you can get there, you want to go for it.
Yeah.
But those numbers are staying correction.
Yeah, a little bit. And I wonder how much of that is, with a somewhat small sample size, is when the bottom part of the lineup is not clicking, that's where you're, a lot of your 200 with no men on because it's out, out, out. And then you get to the meat of the lineup and guys get on, you've got hitter, 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 hitter. So therefore, but they are making hay in those positions. That's the thing. You could have those exact same slash numbers and not be producing runs because you have to bunch them together. They're producing runs. They're fifth in the American League in runs scored.
And that's where, so I got a couple of things I'm curious about. One, are we going to find out that the bottom of the order is the running game in football? You know, remember how I was like, oh, you got to run to win. You got to have a complete lineup. Is it like, no, you just need 5 really good hitters?
Yeah.
Because like, they're going to do most of the heavy lifting anyway. And if you can pitch it, which they have to this point, then, you know, just putting together and 6, I would say when Michael Garcia is going good, which he was going good, then he was cold, now he's going good again. And we've seen Vinny be cold, hot, cold. Seen MJ Melendez be hot and ice cold. But if you can string together 6 batters, that's enough.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we'll find that out that it's, you know, the bottom of the order. Yes. When the bottom of the order hits, we win. Every beer league softball team says it every Sunday, half drunk, bottom hits, we win. Right? Like every time you head back into the dugout.
And I think this fan base in particular feels that way because the most recent world championship was done with, you know, keep the line moving. It was thought of as a team that didn't necessarily kill you one through six, but everyone could hit. The 7, 8, 9 guys always kind of did some kind of damage, and we're just kind of so used to, well, that's what a team, if this offense is going to be good in Kansas City, that's what it's going to have to be. 9 guys who can hit, or at least 8 guys who can hit, and probably is more common than not uncommon. A lot of playoff teams don't have a particularly strong bottom of the order. They got guys at the top who can rake. Those guys get the most at-bats. Therefore, they score the most runs.
Can I give you another stat? They are 8 out of 15 teams in home runs. Playing in a big ballpark, which is going to suppress the number because they don't have to be number one because teams aren't going to come in and be number one against them, particularly when they pitch well. But they're always 14 or 15 in the American League.
That's true.
How about in all of baseball, where do you think they rank?
I'm going to say they are a little above the halfway point.
12.
Yeah.
12. And they're one home run away from being tied for 9th.
That helps. That's one reason. That's one way you hit.
So, like, not only is the top hitting, it's hitting the ball over the wall.
Yeah.
Right? And a number of guys.
Which?
Michael Garcia's got as many home runs as Bobby Witt Jr. Now, I don't think that's going to continue all year. That's a hell of a place to start.
We saw the value of that last night. 3-1, tight game. Jays just scored a run. It's getting a little tight. A couple guys on. A lot of teams, a lot of Royals teams, you'd have to get single, single, single. They get a couple guys on, and Michael Massey puts one, hooks one inside the foul pole. Boom. One swing, 3 runs. And the game was essentially over at that point.
You have to believe the bottom's going to hit better than this.
Yeah.
The top will probably cool off. They won't be as good with runners in scoring position, but they won't be as bad without it. So, as I look at it, let's define it. I'm still encouraged. I'm 6 games away from saying a relatively healthy season by the Royals, and they're going to contend all the way into September.
Yeah.
I'll make that statement because then we'll be at, 39 games?
Yes.
Where are we at now?
31 now, so it'll be 37.
Close enough to 40.
Close enough.
Close enough to Labor Day. I'll be one to say, again, with a caveat, they're going to contend no matter what? No. But with the caveat that they stay healthy, I still don't know that I believe in the depth that's down in the minor leagues to support this team during injuries or the depth in the minor leagues that it would take to make a trade to bring in, you know, supplements to the rotation, bullpen, or lineup at the trade deadline. I'm not convinced of that. But let's do note, Michael Massey has been a nice addition.
Yep.
And again, I'll point out something we talked about in spring training when we were optimistic that they would just beat their 73 win total. All of us had them going over that. I think I had the high water mark. What did I say? 84?
I think so.
No, 77.
Oh.
When they were near it, I'd like to sit and beat my chest and say I was there, but I was at 77. I think we were 75, 76, and 77, weren't we?
Yeah.
In some order. I know I had 77.
I was in the middle.
Because I know I had 77 and Randy at 75 on the podcast.
That's where I was.
Adam was in the middle. But, you know, you had Michael Massey, and if he's going to hit, that starts to elongate the lineup, and he is a young player that seemingly has ceiling. And that's the good news. So does Velasquez.
Yeah.
So does Pascantino. So does Witt. So does Garcia. So does Isbell. Right? All those guys have the potential to have more.
They've all had nice stretches where they've been hitter-ish or successful batters. In the next 6 game you mentioned, 3, Texas comes in town over the weekend. They're kind of sliding back. They're a game over. Milwaukee's back on a blaze again. They are streaky as you can be. 4-game winning streaks and 3-game losing streaks seemingly every other week. They're 8 over. So that's a tough, not the easiest task, but that certainly puts you in a spot where you feel even better about what's ahead of them. They just keep winning series, and they keep playing games that look like games that really good teams win.
They get greasy wins because the other teams are sloppy and they take advantage of it. But also, like, one of the things I would offer up, Matt Quatrero knows what he's doing.
Yes, he does.
That Matt Quatrero is maximizing the run differential. Matt Quatrero is maximizing the top of the lineup. Matt Quatrero and his staff. Paul Hoover, you can see there's powwows that happen in that dugout all the time. That there is a great, intelligent, you know, baseball, modern baseball intelligence going on. He's maximizing his bullpen. You know, they don't have blow-it-away stuff. It ain't HDH back there. But the bullpens look really good most of the time, other than early in a couple-game stretch. He's doing a great job on when to go get a guy.
Yes.
And he's constructed the lineup. He doesn't have something goofy trying to, let's try to get this guy started and put him two.
Nope.
Good hitters up at the top. You know, keep it simple, stupid. He does the obvious things, but he's also, to me, like we mentioned, when he went and got, who did he get it? Four and a third, four and
two-thirds.
Yeah,
went to Serpa. Who was that? It was, I can't remember who it was.
Was that in this run against the Jays? I don't remember.
It was in the previous series, I think, and it may have been one of the games against Toronto here.
Okay.
That's a possibility. I can't remember exactly what game it was.
But
yeah, he's people that I know that I follow who I think know more about the intricacies of the game than I do. I see once a week another Matt Quatrero win. That's one, a win where he's made the key moves at the right spot. The one part on the pitching, talking about odd numbers that don't add up, fifth in baseball in ERA, they are 28th in strikeouts. I think
The home runs backs up the offensive numbers, or at least backs them up more than 28th in K's being fifth in ERA. Seth Lugo, what's gotten into him? 17 strikeouts his last two times out.
Had the one game that kind of got rocked a little bit when he faced Baltimore. That's the only game which he's given up more than two runs. But the last two games, 14 innings, I think one run. Back at it and striking guys out. He looks like he's 4-1 now. Looks like a 5-1. Wasn't the marquee addition of the offseason, but he's been the marquee guy as far as pitching.
Well, he was based upon the dollars they gave him.
Yeah, that's true.
Some people were questioning how much and how many years, and right now they look pretty smart. You look smart coming to the Barrio Taqueria, 408 East 31st Street here at Martini Corner, in between Main and Oak on 31st Street. We're on the north side. Come on down. Beautiful spot. Going to be perfect for Cinco de Mayo. If you can't get here today, no problem. Happy hour's going on. Starting here in about 9 minutes. You can take advantage of that. Plus, take advantage of the specials on the Corona Premieres. For Cinco de Mayo, they're going to have $20 buckets of Corona Premieres and Modelo's. Also, $3.50 Corona Premieres right now. Plus, get the fish tacos for $8.10. $8.10 for the fish tacos. Come on by. Barrio Taqueria here on 31st. All right, welcome back here in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, live at the Barrio Taqueria, 408 East 31st Street. I'm going to correct something I said. I made a mistake. It's between Gillum and Oak. So we are east of Oak, not west of Oak, between Gillum and Oak, just a little bit east of Oak, right here at Martini Corner, Barrio Taqueria, great spot for Cinco de Mayo. They'll have live music and $20 buckets of Modelo and Corona Premier for Cinco de Mayo. They'll be celebrating that at all locations, the Taqueria here on 31st, but also the Briarcliff, Redbridge, Brookside Barrio locations. You can take advantage of that. Go to BarrioKC.com for more information on all the daily specials. Beautiful rooftop here. Going to be 70 degrees on Cinco de Mayo. So come down and celebrate with some great, great Mexican food. Right now we got $8.10 for the fish tacos plus $3.50 for the Corona Premier. So come on out and say hello. Happy hour starts in about 3 minutes. So you can enjoy that Monday through Thursday, 2:30 to 6. Fridays, they start early at 1:30. So take advantage of that. Let's talk about the Kentucky Derby coming up this weekend. You'll hear it right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We want to welcome in, a guy, friend of the program. We talk to him each and every year. Dick Girardi is with us here in the program. Hall of Fame, racing announcer, writer, broadcaster. He does it all. And, Dick, thanks for the time. And tell me, the 150th running of the Kentucky Derby, is it really all it can be? Bob Baffert's not here. He was supposed to be suspended 2 years. He's suspended now again. They extended the suspension. I've never heard of that. Are they ever going to let, Bob Baffert's suspension be over?
I don't know the answer to the last question. The feud is ongoing after Medina Spirit was disqualified from finishing first in 2021 Derby. He tested positive for a medication called phenimethazone, which is an anti-inflammatory. It's not a performance enhancer, but it's illegal to have in a horse's system on race day. Baffert got a 90-day suspension by the Kentucky Racing Commission, but Churchill Downs suspended him for 2 years. Everybody thought that was up after last year's Derby. Then on July 1st, they said, you know what, he's still suspended. So we don't know if this is the last year of the suspension or not. one of these indefinites that they keep extending it. So that's kind of where we are.
Yeah, and it's there is no one who rules over the Kentucky Derby, right? It's a private entity, and they make up their own rules. Even though it's one of the crown jewels of the sport, it's basically just at their whim. And what I read was, like, he wasn't contrite enough. He wasn't sorry. Now, like, you give a guy a suspension, he serves it, that's it. Like, I mean, he never did think he deserved it. So what do you want him to do? You know, shine your shoes? Like, I'm not sure. What would it take in your mind for him to get in their good graces?
Yeah, it's a really good question, and I'm with you. Look, it'd be like somebody's convicted of a crime, and obviously this wasn't a crime, right? They serve their time, then they get out of jail, and they go, you know what? I didn't do it. Well, you have a right to say that. That's okay. But you served your time, right? So I'm with you. To me, I think it's just petty on the part of Churchill Downs. I don't get it. They're making him out to be like the Lance Armstrong of horse racing, which isn't remotely true. And I think it puts the sport in a bad light, and I'm, like, baffled by why Churchill's continuing to do this. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's clearly personal, and when it will end, we don't know. And how does it affect the race? I mean, he's got great horses that have qualified, and they're not going to run in this race. So, you know, are we getting what percentage, maybe I should say, of the top 3-year-olds are we getting in the race this year?
So we're missing Moose, who won the Arkansas Derby, who would have been probably no worse than the third favorite. He'll run in the Preakness, where Baffert is allowed, won the race last year. And another horse called Imagination, who finished second in the St. Anthony Derby, he would have qualified. So, yeah, Bob would have 2 of the 20 in the field. And in one case, I'd say, you know, he's one of the 3 best 3-year-olds in the country. So, yeah, we're missing out on that. I think as people that like the game, you want to see all the best horses in there. Hopefully this is the last year. But, you know, after last year, I'm not sure what to expect.
Yeah, who's hurt more by it, Baffert or the Derby?
I think it's the Derby. I think, look, obviously the owners are hurt because they spent a lot of money. They'd love to run in the Derby, which is the biggest race we have. But, yeah, I think it hurts Churchill. Look, is it going to hurt their attendance or their bottom line? No. Like, yeah, I mean, they're going to sell all the seats. And, you know, it's the 150th Derby, the longest continuous running sporting event in the country. They just spent $200 million on a new paddock. It's awesome. And a lot of things they do at Churchill are really good, but as a corporate entity, this thing just baffles me. But so, yeah, I think it hurts the race. Is Bob Baffert going to be fine tomorrow? Yes. Would he like to run in the Derby again? Yes, too. But unfortunate that we're still talking about it. But look, I get it. It's a story.
This is an off-the-wall question, but when you have the Kentucky Derby doing the things they're doing and basically counting on the pageantry and history of the event to carry it and keep it sold out and keep people watching and keep the money flowing, but they're not putting the best in the field right now, could we see a live, you know, live golf type? I know horse racing is very big overseas, you know, in Saudi Arabia, in those countries. There's talk that they're looking to, they ventured into soccer, not just golf, but also soccer, and going out and getting, could we see them try to, you know, stage a horse race opposite the Kentucky Derby one day? Or is the Kentucky Derby not looking around and seeing that there is potential competitors that could offer a lot more in prize money to start attracting the best horses and maybe ruin what is, like you said, the longest running sporting event in history?
It seems unlikely, but to your point, we now have the Saudi Cup. It's a $20 million purse. It's run annually in the wintertime. Now, that's not for 3-year-olds. That's for horses older than 3. You would never run a 3-year-old that race if they would have just turned 3. And there's the $12 million Dubai World Cup, which has been around now for 25 years. So there are competitors for purses, but not for the top 3-year-olds. These are for older horses. Like, say, this year's Derby winner potentially could be in those races next year. But, yeah, nobody's yet tried to attack the Derby itself with a gigantic purse. That doesn't mean it could never happen. I would deem it unlikely. But, you know, I didn't think Liv Golf was coming either, so to your point.
Yeah. We're talking to Dick Girardi here, great broadcaster, writer, commentator when it comes to the sport of horse racing. Let's talk about the race that will actually happen. What do we got for favorites? Sounds like the favorite would still be the favorite, even if Bob Baffert's horse was in it. But who are the top horses in the race this year?
Yeah, I think Fierceness would be the favorite regardless of whether Moose was in this race or not. Fierceness was a two-year-old champion. He won the Florida Derby by the biggest margin in the history of the race. He just runs really, really fast. When he runs his good races, and he's run them three out of his five starts, he's faster than all the other horses. They're all running for second if he comes with that race on Saturday. And it's interesting, his trainer, Todd Fletcher, has won the Derby twice, but he started 64 horses. You're saying, well, that's not a very good percentage. But the interesting part is he's only had one favorite in all those years. That was Always Dreaming, who won in 2017. So this will be his second favorite that he's had in the Derby. And Fierceness is legit. He should be favored. Again, if he runs his good race, then they can't beat him. He's just way faster than everybody else.
Do we have a great, underdog? Do we have the Cinderella story? Do we have somebody, a horse that was bought for $5,000 or a trade of some oats? I mean, we've had some great storylines of late. Are there any of those in the field?
Yeah, there's a few of them. Probably the best one would be West Saratoga. He was bought for $11,000. Larry Demery is the trainer. He's not a guy that's particularly well-known. I know a friend of mine, Dana O'Neill, is working on a story on him for the New York Times and The Athletic as we speak, was most recently second in the Jeff Ruby Stakes. I would think that would be the one. Look, when you have this horse costs $11,000. The second favorite, Sierra Leone, costs $2.3 million. So, yeah, that's your underdog story for this year, for no doubt.
What, $2.3 million, is that the most expensive?
In this race this year, he is the most. Sierra Leone is the most expensive. He's by a horse of the year, now recently named Hall of Famer in Gunrunner, and he was actually purchased at the Saratoga sale in August of 2022 as a one-year-old.
Do you know off the top of your head what is the most expensive horse that's ever run in this?
I think it was probably Fusaichi Pegasus, who went for $4 million and actually won the Kentucky Derby in 2000. Off the top of my head, I think that's not only the most expensive horse to run in it, but obviously to win it as well. Now, I could be wrong, but that's off the top of my head. I think that's the answer.
Okay. And what was the number again?
$4 million, Fusaichi Pegasus. I believe he was bought as a yearling for $4 million.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that. What do we got? What I read was there's a possibility of rain. Does that affect who you would be looking at when it comes to making a wager if we do get a wet track?
It doesn't, because I think people have a tendency to overthink that. Look, some horses are going to like it. Some horses are going to hate it. Fierceness, for instance, has already won on a muddy track. But not many of these horses would have experience. Hopefully, there won't be any rain and we won't have to worry about it. And you'd hate for Derby 150, and this is obviously a huge celebration. You'd hate for Derby 150 to be marred by some bad weather, so we're hoping for the best on Saturday.
How about the jockeys? Is there a mount that we need to be looking at that, you think gives somebody an edge?
No, I would say this. All the best jockeys are in here, and I always tell people it's called horse racing for a reason. The jockeys, in horse racing, the horse is just envision a ball team, right, a basketball team. The horse is the player. The trainer is the coach. The jockey really doesn't fit, other than, don't mess it up. No jockey is making a slow horse fast. It's just not going to happen. I mean, they can mess it up by getting the horse in trouble. But, yeah, these are all professionals. Most of them have ridden in this race multiple times. So, yeah, I wouldn't pay a lot of attention to that. If you're close on two horses and one of them's ridden by, say, Don Velasquez, who's won the race multiple times, then maybe you lean that way. But, yeah, I wouldn't spend a lot of time on the jockeys.
All right, what about the post positions? Is that going to affect this?
I think it's actually helpful for Fierceness that he has 17. Now it's actually the 16 post because I think we have a scratch. Encino has been scratched and Epic Riot has moved in. And the way that works is Epic Riot will move into the 20 post and all the horses outside of number 9 where Encino is will move in one spot. So I like the fact that Fierceness, who has speed, is on the outside further away from the mash of horses. I don't think it should be, but it's one of those questions that you're not going to know the answer to until after the race. Like, you're thinking, wait, my horse is in the 7 post. That's a great post. What happens if the 8 breaks to the right and the 9 breaks to the left? Then you got a problem if you're in the middle of that.
Yeah. All right. So do you have any betting strategies? We're talking to Dick Girardi, Hall of Fame writer, broadcaster, horse racing expert. Do you have any betting strategies? Anything you would recommend? We've got legal betting on the Kansas side here. So we got people that are going to be headed to their app for the first time. What do you got for advice?
Yeah, I'm going to give out a 17-2 exacta. That's the first two in order. That's Fierceness over Sierra Leone. I'm hoping maybe that pays $50 for two. Also, there's some interesting, I'm sure everybody's got them, prop bets out there. There's one out there that's over under a length and a half for the winning margin. Now, I like Fierceness, and he's won his races, the three races he's won by a combined 30 lengths.
Wow.
So I would go over the one and a half. And in addition, you got the rest of the field, too. It's not just getting Fierceness. You're getting the rest of the field. So if that's a prop bet that's available to you, then that might be one of interest. Go over a length and a half as the winning margin.
All right, let's get to our final four with Dick Girardi. Four quickies. It's brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System, the official health care provider of the Kansas City Royals. Get care from the experts, the Royals Trust, to make the right call. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/royals. Dick, I'll start you with this. What's the best name of a horse you've ever heard?
The best name is Secretariat.
That's the best horse. Is that the best name?
I love that name. I mean, it sounds like royalty, right?
Yeah.
Secretariat.
I like it. Okay. What's your favorite track?
Del Mar.
Okay. Do you like mint juleps?
Terrible. The worst drink ever made.
So god awful. You just made my day confirming how bad they are. I don't know why they're a thing. God, they're so bad. All right, and finally, who's the best jockey today? Who's the best one in the sport?
I like Flavian Pratt. He'll be riding the four Catching Freedom in the Derby. The guy who wins the award every year as the top rider is Irad Ortiz. He's riding domestic product of 15. I don't have any problem with Irad, but my favorite guy is Flavian Pratt, and his horses have a tendency to outrun their odds in all the big races. So Catching Freedom is probably going to be the third choice anyway. So if you're looking for a jockey, like I said, a difference maker, Flavian Pratt.
I love it. I love it. Dick, we're always smarter. We're ready to go. We're ready for the Derby, and we have you to thank for it. We appreciate the time. I look forward to talking to you on down the road.
Sounds good. Thanks so much.
All right, that is Dick Girardi, Hall of Fame writer, broadcaster. Nobody knows the art of horse racing better than Dick Girardi. Great stuff, great information. We are ready to rock and roll for the Derby. You're ready to rock and roll for Cinco de Mayo right here at the Barrio Taqueria, 408 East 31st Street, Martini Corner. You know where it is. Come on out. Beautiful setup, beautiful outdoor area. You can come celebrate Cinco de Mayo in style here at the Barrio Taqueria. Going to have live entertainment plus $20 buckets of Modelo and Corona Premier at all four locations. Here at Martini Corner, at the Taqueria, plus Briarcliff, Redbridge, and Brookside. Don't miss it. Cinco de Mayo coming up this weekend. We'd love to see you here. Come down and enjoy some happy hour with us here at the Barrio Taqueria.
Dick Girardi's appearance on the program courtesy of Bet Online. Check out Bet Online for the most up-to-date odds and prop bets on the 150th running of the Kentucky Derby.
All right, welcome back here on the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB as we broadcast live here at the Barrio Taqueria, 408 East 31st Street in Kansas City. It's right there at Martini Corner. Come on down and join us. It is Cinco de Mayo. Celebrations already underway. Great spot for you to come on down. Every day they'll be celebrating Cinco de Mayo, which, of course, is this Sunday. Sunday, they're going to feature live entertainment plus $20 buckets of Modelo and Corona Premier at all four Barrio locations. The Taqueria right here on 31st Street, Briarcliff, Redbridge, Brookside. Take advantage of it. Buckets of Corona, buckets of Modelo. Go to BarrioKC.com for more information on daily specials. You can come down here today and enjoy some wonderful tacos here at the Barrio Taqueria. Again, East 31st Street in KC. Mo, that's where we're at, 408 East 31st Street in Kansas City, Missouri, right here at Martini Corner. And, of course, let's talk some soccer right now. Coming up on Saturday, Sporting Kansas City takes on Real Salt Lake, second in a row on the road. We talked to Johnny Russell the forward for Sporting Kansas City, joins us here in the program. Our coverage of Sporting Kansas City, always brought to you by Corona, Corona Light, Corona Premier, and those Corona hard seltzers. Warm weather's around the corner. If you're looking to get into the swim trunks, let's go, boys. The Corona Premier, less carbs, less calories. The hard seltzer, less sugars, less calories, less carbs. Look for it wherever you buy your Coronas. We've got great specials, as I said, for Cinco de Mayo going on here at the Taqueria. Barrio Taqueria is where we're at. Let's welcome Johnny Russell to the program. Johnny, how are you, my friend? Thanks for joining us.
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very good. Let's start, first of all, with your health. What's the status, and how fit do you feel like you are? How close are you to being 100%?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm there. Been doing a lot of extra work coming back, and so obviously getting a few appearances off the bench and getting some minutes. So yeah, I definitely feel like I'm right there. Just obviously need to get back in and start on the games, and obviously working on my fitness from there and trying to help the team. So no, I feel like from a health perspective, I feel in a really good position.
You're a guy that seems to go all day. Like, you seem to play a mile a minute the entire game. How tough is it when you're dealing with an injury for a guy like you to sit out and have to watch?
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult. You know, when I'm available, I don't like sitting on the outside and watching. You just feel a little bit helpless, to be honest, when you're on the outside, especially when you're not in the bench as well. So disconnected from the game, and you can't put myself back in the team, hopefully this weekend, and just be ready to, you know, do what I do for my teammates and not let them down.
What do you think's missing right now? I mean, you've got a lot of, you know, some changes. You guys have been scoring goals. Like, last year the problem was you couldn't score. This year the team's scoring, but it seems like, you know, the most inopportune time, you're letting goals in. What do you think's not clicking?
I don't know. There's obviously just there's a problem there. Like you said, we're really well in matches. We're getting goals. We're scoring multiple goals, and we're just seeing it out as a team. Lapses in concentration, you know, not doing the basics as a team defensively, and we're just letting in really sloppy goals from our perspective. It's not as if teams are carving as open. There's not been many. A lot of the goals have came from our mistakes and giving the ball away and teams, you know, hitting us on that transition. So we have to be so much better in that sense going forward. We've dropped already too many, especially at home, from winning positions, and quite comfortable winning positions as well. I'm not going to sit in the eye and say everything's all good, because obviously there's a problem there we need to work on. So we've been working hard this week. Hopefully we show at the weekend that, you know, turn the corner and put that right.
We're talking to Johnny Russell here in the program. I mentioned scoring goals. There hasn't been a problem as far as overall the goal production, but, you know, there are some changes. Different formation, you know, Agata, Polito playing up front together, Tommy out on the wing. How do you think the chemistry is? Now you being put back in, you know, it's always great to get talented players back, but everybody's got to get a feel for where everybody is. How do you think things are right now when it comes to the chemistry of everybody up front?
I think the chemistry is good. You can see that. You know, we're scoring goals, so the chemistry is definitely there. Those guys up top, and, you know, they're kind of sharing the goal as well. Eric had a little burst. Now Alan scored a few. Willie scored a few. So, you know, everyone's chipping in. It's up to the rest of us, me, Daniel, and the other guys that, you know, we need to start contributing as well. Straight for me, obviously, being out of the team. So hopefully now that I'm back, I can start adding to that department as well. But as far as an attacking sense and the chemistry, I think we're in a really good place.
Are you someone that keeps an eye on the table and sees where you guys are as far as, you know, relevant to the other clubs in the West?
Yeah. I mean, as of right now, it's not hugely important, but I obviously still look. I like to know what's going on, what teams are doing, their kind of form. So I believe. Not until, obviously, the stage of the season. You still want to be on the teams up there. You don't want to be in the end of the table, which we are right now. So we know that we've been to many points that's contributed to that. So it's up to us to, you know, when we take so much stronger as a team and seeing those games out.
Tell me, what do you think of the rivalry with St. Louis? I know this is a couple of matches ago, but there's been a rivalry in baseball in this town with St. Louis, and it looks like that rivalry hit the ground running when it comes to soccer. You guys were able to knock them out of the playoffs last year. That was huge for this rivalry. What's the atmosphere like, and is that already easily the biggest rivalry for this club?
Yeah, I would say, when I was asked about it before, I said, for me, for a rivalry, there has to be history there. There has to be, and I understand the history. I understand all that. But I just mean between the two teams, it was a fairly new thing. But I think the names, the atmosphere in both stadiums and fans, and we can see that that's going to be, a lasting rivalry, the one that's be around for a while. Like you said, they had a great year last year, and we were able to knock them out of the playoffs. So I think all those things add to as well, and I think everyone sees how scary, intense the game was that we just played against them. So it's good. It's good for us. It's good for the league. You want games like that. Long may that continue, and hopefully we continue to be the more successful out of the two.
We're talking to Johnny Russell here in the program. Let's go back one more. What was it like playing in a 70,000 seat Arrowhead Stadium against Messi?
I was take away the result. It was a great occasion just to see that many people out, supporting the team. I know a lot of people there for Messi, rightfully so. Best players for the game, but not just from a personal point of view. I'm a big Chiefs fan, so I go there as a fan, got my season tickets there, so to be able to actually, walk out and play there in a game, my little first one for me, but massive, massive experience. Hopefully gained a lot of new fans, maybe it's some people's first time there, so I think it's great for Kansas, for the stadium, and
We're talking to Johnny Russell here in the program. Johnny, I'll get you at my final four quickies brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System, the official healthcare provider of the University of Kansas Athletics, together with LMH Health. If you have an urgent orthopedic or sports injury, the University of Kansas Health System can see you quickly. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/sportsmedicine. I'll start you with this, Johnny. Who's the toughest goalie you've ever faced?
Oh, that's a good one, actually. I don't actually know that off the top of my head. You've stumped me on that one.
Okay.
I've never actually been asked that.
Yeah, interesting. So,
probably when I played against Belgium, where Courtois was in goal, or played Man United in a FA Cup game and De Gea was in goal. So I'd definitely say one of those guys.
All right.
Hugo Lloris is up there as well for LAFC. He's a great goalkeeper.
Okay. Pretty good ones. All right. Are you a fan of the show House of Dragons, the new version?
Yeah, I am. The new one will be out soon.
I know you're a huge fan of the last one, so that's interesting. Yeah. You've got Real Salt Lake this week. Have you ever been to the lake at Real Salt Lake?
I actually have not. No, I haven't spent a lot of time there. I've seen enough of the place, but I've heard it's beautiful. So hopefully that's something in the future that I can go and do.
All right, and finally, you mentioned going to Chiefs games. What's your go-to food when you're at a game?
We enjoy one of the jumbo hot dogs. depending on if we have a game, we get a little frozen margarita as well to top it off. Usually if I'm going, I'll maybe do a little bit of tailgating with some friends before, so I might not eat inside the stadium, but if I go to it inside, probably one of the jumbo dogs, yeah.
Very nice. I'm a fan as well. It's good to know. Good taste, Johnny, good taste. Hey, we always appreciate the time, Johnny. Thanks so much. It's great to have you back, and best of luck with Real Salt Lake.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
All right, that is Johnny Russell, forward for Sporting Kansas City. They'll take on Real Salt Lake coming up on Saturday. 8:30 is the kick as they are on the West Coast, almost clear to the West Coast, at Real Salt Lake. Another big match for Sporting Kansas City as they try to get things going on a winning track. Our coverage of Sporting always brought to you by the Corona, Corona Light, Corona Premier, the Corona Hard Seltzers, the entire Corona family. Proud to bring you our coverage of Sporting Kansas City. And, of course, proud to be served right here at the Barrio Taqueria. 408 East 31st Street in KC Mo. We're right here at Martini Corner. Come on down. Grab yourself a Corona. Maybe a Corona Premier if you're watching the Waistline. It's here at Barrio Taqueria. Also, take advantage of the wonderful menu. Great tacos, great people, great food. Celebrating Cinco de Mayo now through Sunday.
All right, what team holds the NBA record for largest margin of defeat in a home playoff game? Brought to you by Good Sense.